I want to pay it forward. I want to help other people. The hardest part about taking your business from where you're at to where you want to go is knowing where to start. That was such a struggle for me early on. I had no clue where to start. I'd read all these books, listened to all these podcasts, learned all these neat things, but I had no clue where to start. And that happens to a lot of people. We're always, if you're always learning, you're always bumping up against your knowledge ceiling, right? And you have to break through it and learn something new to get to the next stage. And I still do it to this day. I still bump up against my knowledge ceiling. But what I've learned to do is to find someone that's out in front of me just a little bit and ask them how they overcame this or what should I do here or whatever. It always gets me through that knowledge ceiling. And I want to help others do that too. I'm probably most well equipped to help guys who are just kind of getting started out, right? To do that, the very first thing they have to do before they read any books, before they make any decisions, is they have to
The Blue Collar Voices Show.
The answer to last episode's trivia question is, of course, they weigh the exact same.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Today is the third and final part of my interview with Billy Klein. If you listen to even just this episode today, you will quickly realize that Billy brings the heat. If you haven't heard parts 1 and 2, I highly recommend you stop this now and listen to 1 and 2 first. Billy Klein is running a thriving and growing company, and as you will hear today, he is extremely willing to help those that want to grow as well. Now here is Billy in part 3 on the Blue Collar Voices Show.
You value one over the other, or if only one of those is important to you, you're not going to make
it. I have to admit, I really like that approach. And you're so right about the mindset about how you're paying employees. They want to treat them like the employees that they're hiring should be grateful that they're being hired, when really it's the employer should be grateful at this point in time that we have somebody willing to come to us.
That's correct. It's such a mind shift from how we grew up, right? That mindset was very pervasive in the 90s and early 2000s, but now the blue-collar employee pool is shrinking. I think the average age of a master plumber is in his 60s right now, right? And it's hard to get people to come into those trades because for 20, 30 years, we were telling all the kids, you have to go to college and get a degree, and they were looking down on blue-collar. I got a guy right now in my house fixing my air conditioner. He's been doing it for 7 years. He's up in my attic right now fixing my air conditioner. This guy is going to make well over $100,000 this year, and he's only been doing AC for 7 years.
Yep.
So blue collar all the way. My 16-year-old, I keep telling him that he needs to pay attention and to get involved with something that he can do with his hands with a mechanical inclination, because I'm afraid that by the time he's 30 or 40, there's not going to be nearly as many people as there are now doing it. By the time he gets that age in his generation, if he can do that, he will be able to become a billionaire if he can put the business aspect together, because the cost for labor is going to be double what it is now in another 15 years, 20 years, because there's going to be even fewer people that are doing the blue collar stuff.
I read a stat, and I think this was dealing with plumbers, that for every 5 plumbers that retired, they're only getting 3 that are coming back in.
Yeah, I believe that.
And numbers are going to vary depending on where you look.
Sure. Well, I don't know. Maybe the whole AI thing, taking away a lot of computer jobs and stuff, if that comes to fruition, will force people into more physically demanding careers, you know, or blue collar. And that, maybe they'll shift.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, maybe that'll shift that. I'll be wrong. Either way, whether I'm wrong or I'm right, the demand is going through the roof. The population is going through the roof. People are still buying houses like crazy, even though the interest rates are high. They're going to need people to come and do things in their home. And the population of people who know how to do those things is certainly dwindling.
We're seeing an aging population. We're actually seeing a population deplosion because our population, the births and things are plummeting. We are headed towards a dramatic decrease in the number of people that are going to be alive and born. But the jobs that are going away are absolutely going to force those people to turn and start competing in the blue collar market again.
Very well could be. I mean, if you just get up on a hill around Dallas and look out and see all the houses, I mean, you can look in any direction and see 5,000 houses as far as you can see, a sea of houses.
Mm-hmm.
All these houses have all these systems that need to be repaired and maintained.
Yes, yes.
My average ticket today of whatever, $3,300 could be $13,000 just because labor has gone up so much, the inflation has gone up so much, you know, and all the things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of opportunity for people who are willing to work with their hands and treat your customers well and treat your employees well. It's never going to be a losing combination.
I have a couple more questions, one of which is a minor question. What is the cost to completely furnish one service truck? You have the cost of the truck, and then what kind of equipment, what kind of cost is associated with making that thing ready to get out there and work?
So the truck itself and the equipment is relatively simple. We use a lot of Chevrolet Express cutaways with the 12-foot box, the overhead door in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And then we generally upfit them ourselves. We'll build a few wood racks inside to haul a few tools, some material. We'll build a rack to strap the doors to. The vans right now are costing us around $55,000 to $58,000 for a new one. And we only buy new when one comes time to go out of service. We go get a new one. I don't have the time or the bandwidth to be fixing stuff. And that's one of the cool things about charging the right price. You can start to do this. The equipment is relatively simple. The guys, of course, have an assortment of hand tools, you know, chisels, drill bits, all the little things, hammer and a bar, impact, drill. But outside of that, they carry a table saw, a track saw, a circular saw. Most of the trucks have a small battery air compressor on board. We don't use air tools a whole lot. Most of our tools are battery operated. Our miter saws are all battery operated. We do carry table saws that are electric because there's no good battery ones on the market. Table saws we don't need every day, but probably once or twice a week. And I think I mentioned the battery operated nail guns. That's really it. Relatively small tool list. And we provide all the tools for our guys except for their hand tools. We provide all the big tools, the nail guns, the saws, things like that. And then they just provide their hand tools. We give them the rest.
That sounds significantly cheaper than a HVAC guy's or plumber's van.
Yeah, and plus they carry tens of thousands of dollars worth of inventory, too, on those trucks just to be loaded for bear. I haven't got to mention this yet, but we do all of our sales over the phone also. So when we get a prospect, we communicate with them, we put them on our schedule, we ask them to send us a few pictures of what's going on, and then we'll call them and go through our sales process, review the photos with them. Door's a relatively simple system in your home, right? And here, most of the houses are built the same way. So it's relatively easy to diagnose the problem over the phone or to give them a price over the phone. There's a handful of modular sizes, and it's pretty easy to figure out what general size it is from the correspondence. We do all of our sales over the phone, and then we don't go out to a home until something is, we have a commitment. Our overhead to get in front of the customer to get the job is a whole lot less than a plumber or HVAC at that point. In those systems, you absolutely have to be in the home looking at it to diagnose the problem. You can tell me the noise your car is making, and I can maybe give you three or four things that it could be, but you're not going to be able to tell it what it is until you're in front of it. But with a door, there's just a handful of things that can be wrong, and there's a handful of ways to fix those things or replace it. And we know what those costs are. That's how we do all of our sales.
We'll go into this direction. One, I'd like you to talk about your latest, what you're rolling out and how you're going to grow your company, which I read on your post.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, anything else that you'd like to address that I haven't asked, I'd like you to speak to that.
Okay. Well, we've along this journey, I'm going to tie all this together. Where we're at now is going to dovetail into this journey that we've been on. I mentioned early on about discovering podcasts and discovering Tommy's podcast. There's been a whole host of other podcasts. Cristiano's got a podcast called, he's going to hate me. Home Services Podcast. Cristiano is a digital marketer. He does a lot for plumbing, heating, air, electrical, and garage doors. They help all those companies with their web services, online marketing, SEO, and stuff like that. But he's got a really good podcast that I really enjoy. Even though I'm not a plumber or heating air, I get a lot of stuff from his business stuff from his podcast. And I heard about this guy who I'd heard of before on his podcast. He had him on. His name is Roy Williams. He's called the Wizard of Ads. In home services, Roy Williams is a proverbial legend, right? He's got a marketing company based out of Austin, Texas. He built a campus there in Austin, Texas. He would bring contractors to his campus and teach them for free to do the principles and the marketing aspects that he's become so famous for. And a lot of contractors would go home and have success with those things on their own. And some would hire him. Mm-hmm. He became so successful at helping some of these contractors that they would start donating money or sending him money because they started this, what they call a 501c3 or whatever, a charity type, where they train these contractors for free in exchange for donations at the end by these successful contractors that they've taught how to market themselves. So I learned about Roy and his services. He's helped a lot of major U.S. corporations become major $100, $200 million a year companies. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, he helped them grow from relatively small into $250 million a year or whatever they are now. Mm-hmm. Kettle Air Conditioning, they're big in Phoenix, Vegas, and I think they're in California. Took them from $11 million a year to whatever they are now, $120 or $30 million a year. There's several companies that he's done that with. So they do most of their stuff through mass media, TV, radio mostly, but some TV, brand building and storytelling, right? I saw Roy on Chris's podcast. So naturally, I reached out. I'm an implementer. I'm a doer. When I see or hear something that I think is interesting or will help me, I'm all over it like a duck on a June bug. I reached out to Roy's affiliate, Ryan Shute. Got with Ryan, was just trying to do a discovery call to figure out what was going on, if this was something that we would be ready for in the next few years, the budget, what it looks like, what we could expect, and things like that. So I told Ryan our story, our business story, my vision, and he's like, let me talk to Roy and I'll get back to you. A couple weeks later, he called me back. He said Roy had a couple technical questions for me about doors. He wanted to know how we seal the doors and if we seal all six sides of the door or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, of course. We seal the top and bottom, any exposed area. So he's like, all right, I'll get back to you. And you just have to do some research into Roy to understand he's a bit of an eccentric person. He got back to me. He's like, Roy wants to meet you. He doesn't do a lot of one-on-ones anymore, but he wants to meet you. So we get in our car, we drive to Austin, we meet with Roy, we spend the day with Roy. And this guy is an amazing man. He gave us his whole day. He listened. He gave us some advice, told us what to expect. Probably not big enough yet to start doing this, but we think we can get you there in this and that. And the next thing we know, Roy wanted to meet with us again. We're back to meet with Roy again. In light of the fact that we weren't really big enough or have a big enough marketing budget to start doing some of these bigger things, Roy felt so convicted that we have a winning business model and a winning vertical that he wanted to be a part of that. So he offered to buy part of the company.
Wow.
Him and Ryan. We went back and forth for a while and we finally agreed on a price and kind of an operating agreement. And so we sold part of our company to Roy. I encourage you guys to look into Roy, and I could talk for days about Roy and who he is and what he's done, but to say that he is a legend in the home service marketing space is putting it lightly, and he's very highly respected, very highly opinionated, but everything that he pretty much has dominion over is successful. We've kind of put all of our eggs marketing-wise in Roy's basket, but Roy also wrote a check, put his money where his mouth is, so we're rebranding again. We're branding to a brand that's going to fit in multiple markets across the U.S. We don't have a plan for that yet, just a vision. But rebranding to a nationally applicable brand was important to us early on, even though we've already rebranded with Dan and we love what we did with Dan and it was taking off really well. We just felt like now's the time, if we're going to do a national brand, to go ahead and rip that Band-Aid off and redo that, kind of get that process going. So we've partnered with Roy and Ryan, and we're restructuring and reorganizing, and we're getting ready to take off and do all those things. It's probably a 12-month plan before we, maybe 18 months before we take on a new market. But we're perfecting our operating system where we're at right now, so we can take our operating system, our manuals, and our processes with some of the right people and trucks and equipment and drop it in a new market, and they'll know how to just kind of take off running. Kind of a franchise model without the franchise. That's kind of our bigger picture version. We haven't boiled it down very well yet, but that's the direction that we're headed, the vision that we have. That's kind of where we're going with it.
Are you currently looking at staying in the state of Texas, or are you going to go outside?
Yeah, so the neat thing about Texas is right now is it's a very business-friendly climate, right? They're very pro-business in Texas. There's no state income tax. A lot of very good things governmentally from Texas are here. And the other cool thing is there are several of the right markets here, right? You got Houston, Austin, San Antonio, Tyler, maybe Lubbock. There's a lot of places where we could go. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit in Texas, but ultimately, bigger picture is to go to a few other markets, maybe Oklahoma City, Atlanta, who knows? The goal isn't to necessarily stay in Texas, but to start in Texas.
Each franchise location, distance away, probably doesn't matter. Once you're willing to bridge that state gap, now you're just, each area is going to be its own unique situation.
Correct. So Houston can probably be broken into at least two markets. Dallas can be broken into two markets. It's so big. Austin can probably be broken into Austin North and Austin South. Austin proper is probably not even the best meat on the bone around Austin. Got Round Rock and all that to the north, and then Buda and all the things south to San Antonio. Those are all really big areas with a lot of people who value their time more than their money. And those are the types of customers that we should all try and get. Someone that we can provide a convenience for, solve a problem, and save them time. Because in a state like Texas, there's a lot of corporations relocating here because of the friendly business climates and the political climate. But a lot of wealthy people who have very fast-paced occupations who need to save time, right? And it's really setting itself up well for companies that can do that by providing that customer service.
How recession-proof is what you offer?
Well, I don't know if we're technically in a recession right now, but every month up to October, from last February up to October, October was kind of a weird month. We set a new sales record, and then we hit October. And then October, we come back just a little bit. And then November, December, January, February, March, were all record months for us. April was flat. May was better than average. June's still out. If we're not in a recession, it's not far from it, and we're growing month over month. So our overhead is fixed for the most part. Cool thing is we still have a lot of capacity in the staff that we have now, so we could do quite a bit more in revenue every month than what we're doing with the staff we already have. So there's a lot of meat on the bone there for us. But for all of our field work, we pay performance pay except for the apprentices. Everyone else gets paid by what they do. They get paid a percentage of the labor that they do every day. To say that, unless I just don't get enough to keep the guys busy and I have to lay them off, our fixed overhead is relatively low. Unless the proverbial shit hits the fan or something like that and we got bigger things to worry about, we're in pretty good shape. We don't have any debt other than the normal day-to-day debt, van payments and stuff. We don't have any real equipment debt or real estate debt or lines of credit. We pay for everything as we go, things like that. So we're in pretty good shape.
Well, that's outstanding. I have a couple of follow-up questions, but they'll work after this question. Is there anything else that you'd like to address that we haven't yet discussed?
You know, looks like I've been rambling here for a couple hours. Appreciate you given me the opportunity to kind of go unfiltered here. I have learned so much, and I have such gratitude for the people who have taken their time to pour into me and to share with me the right way to do stuff. And for the guys that have really blazed the trail and have opened up and helped us out in the home service in general, blue collar, plumbing, heating, whatever. There's been several guys that have really poured their knowledge into me, and I am so grateful for that. I want to pay it forward. I want to help other people. The hardest part about taking your business from where you're at to where you want to go is knowing where to start. That was such a struggle for me early on. I had no clue where to start. I'd read all these books, listened to all these podcasts, learned all these neat things, but I had no clue where to start. And that happens to a lot of people. We're always, if you're always learning, you're always bumping up against your knowledge ceiling, right? And you have to break through it and learn something new to get to the next stage. And I still do it to this day. I still bump up against my knowledge ceiling. But what I've learned to do is to find someone that's out in front of me just a little bit and ask them how they overcame this, or what should I do here, or whatever. It always gets me through that knowledge ceiling. And I want to help others do that too. I'm probably most well equipped to help guys who are just kind of getting started out, right? To do that, the very first thing they have to do before they read any books, before they make any decisions, is they have to have the right mindset. You have to understand that where you're at in life is your fault and no one else's. Not make excuses, and understand that anything that you do from here is also your fault, right? All your success, you get to own it. All your failures, you have to own those, but you also have to own who you are, where you're at, and where you want to go. Until you do that, it doesn't matter how many books you read, how many seminars you go to, how many podcasts you listen to, or people you talk to. It's not going to matter. It's going to go in one ear and out the other. And you'll never, ever, you'll be too scared. It's that thing, like I said earlier, you have to play the game to win. You can't play it to just not lose, right? If you're playing the game to just not lose, you just don't have the right mindset. So fix your mindset. And I'm more than happy to talk to people on how to get started with that. But once you fix your mindset, you become an open vessel ready to receive what others can pour into you. Once you are ready for that, it really becomes fun for you and for me. It becomes easier. It becomes painless. Not painless. There's going to be some pain, but you kind of get where I'm going. It doesn't feel like drudgery. It doesn't feel like you're always pissing on fires, because you can get in front of stuff. And one of the coolest things that I've noticed in the last 12 months is we're very proactive now and hardly reacting to anything. We're planning for success. We're planning for next year's budget now. We're planning on how many trucks are we going to need to have to get to 10 million next year? How many people are we going to need to hire? How are we going to have to set the training up? How much admin are we going to need to have? How many uniforms do we need to order in advance? Cool things like that. Instead of, oh crap, we just realized we don't have this door. We've already scheduled it for install, or we already took this person's money and the thing's not in. Those things have disappeared for the most part from my business. The reactive pissing on fires, it's not really a thing anymore in the day-to-day level. But you have to start with the mindset. And once you have the right mindset, then the rest of it becomes relatively minor. But you also have to understand that it's a series of small bites, a series of small things put together. 1% per day over 100 days is 100%. You don't necessarily see the progress or the progression day over day. But when you get that 100 days out, or that year or 2 years out, and look back, you're like, holy cow, I can't believe how much things have changed, or how much better we are, or whatever it is, how much more revenue we're doing, or sales, or whatever it is that drives you. It's like looking on Facebook at my memories earlier, and there was a picture of my wife and I from 12 years ago, and just how much younger we looked 12 years ago compared to now, right? It's the same thing. So over time, and when you start doing things right in your business, you look at yourself now, and then you reminisce about where you come from, and I'm blown away every day when I do that, every time. We spent a long time wandering around in the wilderness. The amount of time that I spent wandering around in the wilderness compared to the amount of time that I have committed to doing things right and getting things on the right path is probably 80-20. 80% of the time of my business I've spent in the wilderness, and only 20% of the time have I spent doing things right and getting things set up right. But that 20% of the time has moved my business 3,000% further than the amount of time I spent in the wilderness. And it's, it's just kind of overwhelming when I look at it like that. You feel blessed, but the blessings come when you start doing things right, and it just starts to perpetuate itself.
That's awesome. I'm going to hit you up with several questions here. Books you'd recommend. You'd mentioned some, but kind of throw some out there.
Yeah, for sure. I would never recommend anyone try to do business without reading How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's not really a business book. It's not going to teach you how to do your P&L. It's not going to teach you how to do sales or anything like that, but it's going to teach you how to treat people. And if you don't know how to treat people, both inside your business and outside your business, you might as well hang it up, because you're not going anywhere. Like I mentioned earlier, I was in the military for 12 years. And when I got out of the military and I started trying to lead people in the military, it's one size fits all, right? You do it or you don't. Mm-hmm. It's binary. In the civilian world, it's not like that. It took me a minute to realize that you couldn't have the same approach with all people. You have to approach people in their personality and how they may react or how they may accept things. It creates this dynamic to where they will trust you more and they will get buy-in. But if you go out there and you got a guy that responds well to being gruff, and you know, you're like, you need to go do this and you need to do it right now, you got four guys that won't respond well to that, right? You got to approach them differently and all the things. So understanding that is important. I lost where I was going with that.
Well, it's all good. We're talking about books right now.
Oh, books. Yeah. Back to the understanding that. So How to Win Friends and Influence People, that will put you on that track, right? So that's a very, very important book. That was one I read early on. One of the books that I've read recently that I really, really enjoyed was the one that I mentioned earlier by Weldon Long, and it's called The Power of Consistency. It's Weldon Long is a sales coach. He's heat and air. I think he owns a heat and air company or two, but he wrote this book. And he spent, I think, 7 years in prison, come out and fixed his mindset. It'll help anyone that's struggling with mindset issues. You had a poor upbringing. You've had a poor start in life. All the things will help you to come to grips with the fact that you need to own who you are, where you're at, and all the things, and then understand how to move forward. It's a great book. It's a great book to kind of open your mind to sales, too. It's got a little bit of that in there. It's a really good book and one that I've really enjoyed. Another book that Tommy Mello just came out with, this is his second book, is a book called Elevate. And inside that book, it talks about how to build a winning team, right? Or how to build a culture and what it looks like and what it takes to do that. And I couldn't recommend that enough to someone that's trying to start scaling or to grow a business. You can have a business up to a certain point and do things with some turnover and all the things, but you're going to kind of be stuck there, right? You're not going to grow much. In order to grow, you got to have a winning culture. You got to have buy-in from your team. You got to have systems in place, processes, and all these things. And that book that Tommy just came out with called Elevate is a great place to start for learning and understanding those types of fundamental principles.
Keep going.
Oh, man. I like to read. I have ADD pretty bad, so I have to read in the morning when I get up, and I'll sit and read a couple chapters, or write at night before I go to bed when I'm trying to wind down. I listen to a lot of books. Mm-hmm. I can listen to a book. My commute to my office every morning is about 45 minutes, so I listen to books when I'm riding in, but I can't necessarily listen to them while I'm riding back because I'm just processing too much throughout the day. I can listen to a book in the afternoon on my way home and not remember a single word that I heard. So I have to do that in the morning.
It's the same thing with podcasts for me. I can listen to something and I find it stimulates a thought. And then I realized I've been listening for 10 minutes, but I haven't heard anything because I have to back up and rewind it because it like just lights fires in my brain and I'm no longer even paying attention.
Absolutely. The problem with me is I get busy in the day, the phone starts ringing and all the things. So earlier in the morning, it's easier for me to focus on stuff. Another couple books that I read that or listened to or both that were really good, especially if you want to build your business. Even if you don't want to sell it, you should read the book called Built to Sell by John Warlow. There's three things that happen to a business, inevitably every business. You sell it, you leave it to your heirs when you pass away, or you give it to your kids, or you die and it dies, right? Those are the only three possible outcomes to a business. Built to Sell will help you understand the principles to build a business to where it can either run without you or you can sell it. It'll have value. But a lot of problems, especially in home services and blue collar stuff, guys can go out and generate $500,000, $1 million in revenue and think that they've really got something. But the problem is if they're not there, nothing happens, right? If they don't direct what's going on, nothing happens. So until you have a business that's got what we call EBITDA or net profit at the end that you can apply a multiplier to create a value for your business, really just have a job that you're really good at and you're making better than a living.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. It's where I was at, right? I hit that fork in the road. Do I want to have this and save for retirement and not take as many risks? Or do I want to build this business and help more people on this journey? The problem I had was I went on the build the business route, but I had no business being in business because I didn't know how to build a business. I just got lucky and stumbled around until enough people helped me out. Tommy's got another book called The Home Service Millionaire. I think he wrote it 4 or 5 years ago. It's a great book. When you listen to all these podcasts, a lot of these guys do the same thing at the end. They ask people books to recommend. And I always write down these books or I go immediately on Audible and buy these books. Think and Grow Rich. That's one that a lot of people, I've read it multiple times. I try and listen to it at least once a year. I usually do it between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's a longer book. I've got some time and it helps me reflect over the year that I've had and before I go into the new year. Traction. Traction, yeah, by Gino Wickman. He is the developer of the thing called the EOS or the Entrepreneur Operating System. We've taken some elements of Traction and EOS and applied it to our business and what we do, and it works really good. There's so many good things. Building a story brand, that's where we're kind of at right now with Nolan and Roy. They're developing this story that we're going to tell over mass media to help build our brand. Profit First, that's a great one for a lot of blue-collar guys that are running smaller businesses that struggle financially. Pay yourself first and then pay everything else. The one thing that I will recommend that people that read books and hear all these things and on podcasts and stuff is don't. What I did for a long time was I would run headfirst into everything that I learned, right? Like Profit First. I went all in on Profit First. And I read another book that was kind of not contradictory, but didn't totally align with Profit First, but some of the things worked for me. And so, golly. So I got to where I would listen and read and learn these things and take what works, right? Always try and get one or two things from everything you learn or read to apply to what you're already got going on, because you can't just keep doing wholesale changes or you'll never get anywhere. Be open-minded to what you listen, hear, and read and learn and apply what works, bolt it on to what you've already got, to your operating system, to your vision, to the way you want to do things. And over time, all these little things will keep adding up and you'll have you a nice little business or big business. And then one more thing that I'll leave with is never be afraid to reach out to people who are already winning, or especially if you're doing $1 million a year in revenue and you want to get to 3 million, it's not that hard to find guys who are on that path, right? They're always happy to help. And I'll kind of use this analogy. In the neighborhood I lived in, or that I live in now, if one of the neighbors walked up on my door and wanted to mow my lawn, even if I had just mowed my lawn, I would pay that person to mow my lawn, a kid, right? Mm-hmm. I see some young person, especially hustling and doing stuff and trying to, I always want to help that person. It's the same way in business. If I got someone that comes to me that wants to learn or understand some of these business principles and I know the answers and can help them, I have people that come to my house and I pour into those people as much as I can. Guy that painted my garage floors was trying to build this company bigger. I mean, I talked to that guy for 3 or 4 hours, just pouring into him. Everyone that is doing better than you or gone further on this journey than you are now, almost all of them will help you if you approach them and ask for help. That's one of the most important, biggest things that you can take away from this podcast today is don't be afraid to ask for help. They'll all help you if you ask. Reach out to me. I'm always happy to spend time pouring into people, at least to get them on the right track, to help them develop a vision and to set up a framework or an outline for how they're going to achieve that vision. I'm not the best guy to help them figure out how to build their systems and processes, but I can certainly help them understand a vision for a framework that will help them get their dreams and goals. And at the end of the day, our business needs to be a vehicle for us to achieve our own personal goals and dreams, not something that we have to do to pay the bills or something that we have to do because we're in this perpetual downward spiral of not making enough money and we have to go or the whole thing is going to come crumbling down. That is no way to live.
Billy, this has been a phenomenal podcast. I am so glad I had you on here, and I'm delighted that you said yes.
I'm glad you had me. I've had a great time. I love telling my story. I love helping people. I love all these things. I want to help as many people as I can. And I know that there's tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of guys out there right now that used to work with their pops or work for another company that wasn't treating them well. And they had some skills and can go out and do a few jobs and start generating revenue, but they have no idea about marketing, sales, or any of these things. And they're going to hit a wall, but there's help. If they're committed to the journey, I would love if they reach out to me and ask for help or, you know, ask me to point them in the right direction or any of those things. Well, ask me for book recommendations. I love to help people who are going through what I've already gone through.
Well, what I'll do is put your contact information when this is posted and I'll confirm with you what that is.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to get from you that you could send me a list of books you'd recommend, leaders in the industry, and some podcasts to listen, and I'll add that as an addendum, and you can send that to me, and we can put that in the show notes.
Awesome.
Well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Billy, thank you so much, and can't hardly wait to get this published so that the world can hear you.
I appreciate the opportunity. I'm looking forward to listening to it and to helping anybody that reaches out. And you just keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate the platform that you've put together and the people that you're trying to help and the people that listen to your podcast specifically. And, you know, the mindset that we're all of a bigger worldview platform is important. We need more people like you out there.
Thank you, Billy.
All right. Thank you.
Today's trivia question is, how many gallons of crude oil does it take to make 1 gallon of gasoline? Our next guest is Melvin Baird, based out of Bremerton, Washington. Melvin runs a successful and long-established company encapsulating the areas underneath homes to control humidity, rodents, water, etc. Melvin started the company and has worked diligently to grow this company to the success that it is today. Melvin was fun to talk to, educational, and I know you will enjoy his story. Here is a little snippet from my recording with Melvin.
They're like, okay, so everybody that sold X amount of dollars, stand up. And then they were going through the numbers. And the higher the number, the more people sat down until it was me and this other guy standing up in the room. And so I had no idea at the time, but I was the number 2 salesperson in the nation for this company. Because I was just trying to like put my kid through college. I wasn't really worried about competing with anybody or anything like that. I was just going through the motions and trying to make as much money as I could, take care of as many customers as I could. And we were talking about buying this thing, and then we come back and we started, you know, really talking about it, my wife and I and him. And then we kind of noticed some things that we didn't really like. And then the proverbial economy just kind of had the toilet flush on it. And then I went from making a lot of money every month to like $1,300 for the last 2 months I was there, which is not very much money. And his response was, hey, you should sell better. You should learn how to sell. I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and I'll show you how well I can sell. And then I gave him my notice. And then I started my crawl space company February 4th. I got all my licenses, bonded, insurance, and then February 5th, I was in a crawl space, and we've been busy ever since.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Blue Collar Voices Show. On this episode's page on bluecollarvoices.com, you will find show notes and any relevant links.
If you are not subscribed to get notifications of new show episodes, you can do that at bluecollarvoices.com as well. Hey, let me know what you think. I'd love to hear from you. See you next time.
I'll be back.